We kind of talked along the lines of a responsibility and a privilege. Privilege and responsibility. How they go hand in hand. And I want us to look at that again today. We're going to look at a couple verses before we get started and everything. This is a little bit of a way of review to remind us of where we were and where we're headed and what our year sort of looks like as we're kind of working into all of these things. Jesus said, or we find in Luke chapter number 12, verse 48, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much what?
Required.
And to whom men have committed much, of him shall they ask more." And we looked at those verses and are using that as our idea behind privilege and responsibility. God says that to whom much is given, much is required. And here's how we kind of open that up. No people living in any part of the world has a greater opportunity to know and serve Jesus than American Christians. Also said, God has given to me a great privilege. And let's do that together. We did that together last week. Let's do it together again. God has given to me a great privilege. And let's read this together. God requires of me a great responsibility. That's a truth that if we do not grasp that truth, we will really fall behind and we will miss the mark of what God's called us to do. So God has given to me a great response of privilege. He requires of me a great responsibility. That is true. And that's why I also said this. I started taking my privilege for granted and neglecting my responsibility. That all changes today. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were here. And that's the mindset that I want us as Christians to always think about. It's easy to take for granted what we have. Matter of fact, there is a mentality that's easy to slip into every person. For every one of us in this room, it's easy to fall into this mentality. I am doing something for God because I got up and made my way to church today. And that is not really a big... Like, somehow or another, it's easy for us to start to think that God is so pleased and that we're going to stand head and shoulders above other people because we got up and came to church today. But when you look at what's happening around the world, the price of Christianity there is that people are dying and they're losing family members and they're suffering. Now, I thought about it as Kinsley made her way in here in the middle of that and just kind of laughing and running down the hallway and Noah turning around, center back, and it was cute. It was really cute, but I thought it was really amazing because I was thinking this. What a privilege for a parents to have their children in a church where that can happen versus being in a place where she could be taken away from them or killed because they're in a place like this. And see the difference. And so that's what we're talking about, privilege, responsibility. Here's the statement that I made. Here's a commitment that I made and still holding to today, a few weeks out, that I would push, pray, and partner. Push you to be the Christian that God wants you to be. Push you to take the responsibility of the privilege that has been given to us. A privilege that will be taken away in the future. America will not always be a country. It's not right now this friendly to Christianity as it once was. And it's important for us not only to realize that aspect, but to know that whenever we're comfortable in neglecting our privilege and our responsibility, we're not doing what God has saved us to do. Glorify Him. All right? And so push you to be that person that God wants you to be. And that's what we'll do. We'll continue to try to do that. But then pray for you. It's not that we're going to be here and try to guilt people into things. It's that we're going to try to push to say, hey, you can do it. It's encouraging. When I'm talking about pushing, it's coaching. It's coming alongside. It's encouraging you to be that. It's accountability, but also to pray, to come together and pray about this responsibility, pray about this faithfulness, this commitment that we need to make as Christians, not only to the church building that we're in and the services that we hold, but to walking with God on a regular basis and serving God and witnessing for God, obeying God, and then partner, to do it together. And we're in the same mission. We're in the same calling. When Jesus left this world, there was something that the disciples did. They would gather together. Matter of fact, we found them If you look in the Gospels, you'll find those disciples gathering together, especially in the very early part. Why? They were united around the same mission, the same calling, the same purpose, the same goal, the same joy, the same passion. And that's what a church is. It's people that are called together to be a part of that mission of serving God, to push each other, to pray, and to partner together. And that's what we're trying to do here at Shine Light Baptist Church. And as we approach all this, I want to bring some scripture out today that I want us to look at that will help us to look at our own life and what's important in our own life. What's the priority in our life? This is not an unfamiliar place of scripture that we're going to look at. Many of you will know it, but hopefully we won't let that keep us from really learning from it. Because sometimes what we're familiar with, we have a hard time learning from. We think, all right, I know this story, I already got that. But I ask you to look at it today with open eyes and a fresh mind. As we look at this in chapter number 10, the book of Luke. So some of you will turn there, and others will follow with us here. Luke chapter number 10. Allergies are getting to all of us, but I think we can overcome most of it. So Luke chapter number 10, look at verse number 38 with me. The Bible says, now it came to pass as they went, that he, who is the he? You might know? Jesus. That he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now here's the key that's always part of the verse stands out. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So when we get the picture, it's really easy. Now this story, I've heard it so many different ways. I've heard Mary praised and Martha beat up. And I've heard Martha praised and Mary beat up, which is a little hard to pull out of that one. But I've heard both of those. I mean, people criticize one and praise the other. I think there's aspects of both that we need to recognize and pay attention to. But here's the story that I want you to, the picture I want you to get in your mind. Martha is in this home. What happened previously to this is Jesus has sent out disciples two by two. He sent them out to go to places to where he would later come, cities and villages that he was going to visit. So Jesus was coming to Danville or coming to our Blair's area or something. He would send those disciples out to kind of let people know he's coming, and he's looking for people to do what? Make preparations for that. What it appears as we kind of roll right in, when you pick up with this text, you come right on the heels of that, and it appears that Martha is one of the people that has made preparation to receive Jesus Christ into her home. So I want you to think about what that is like. Especially, I think the people that could appreciate this the most are the women in our church, and here's why. Because on them is going to fall oftentimes the preparation of everything, getting it together, right? Arranging it. There's going to be meals. There's going to be things. And this is what Martha's doing. My boss actually tells us it's Martha's home. That's a little unusual. We don't really know how that Martha, did her husband die and leave her the home? We don't really know what's going on there. It's a little unusual, but Martha is the one that's the head of this home, and she owns it. Her sister is there with her. So Martha feels a great responsibility to show hospitality to Jesus and his guests, right? We can see that. And so it's natural for her to do the things that she's doing. So just think for a moment some of the stuff that she's got to get ready. One, she's got, has probably already got the house clean. Can y'all imagine the process of getting that ready as the Lord's coming by? So there was probably things cleaned in their home that had not been cleaned for a long time. Not saying Martha was a filthy person, right? But think about when you're going to have guests. Don't we clean things that we don't normally clean? That always baffled me when I was younger. And my grandparents or somebody was going to come over, and all of a sudden we were cleaning things that I never even knew we had, right? And it's like, they're not going to see that. You know, almost like you feel like you got to go dust the attic and paint the basement or something. You know, a place they're never going to go. Your smiles let me know that you've been in that place before, right? Now, Martha's got this concern, but then there's also a meal to prepare. And in that meal, once it's prepared, what do you have to do after it's prepared? You got to serve. And so for Martha, she is looking to be the perfect hostess. And not just perfect, but just proper, appropriate hostess. And her mind is occupied with those things. She wants to make sure that she's the type of hostess that is worthy of Jesus' visit. She does not want to disrespect him and his visit by not having things prepared, by not noticing the little things that are taking place in this visit. I can think back to times, and a lot of times there's two different people in the home, you know, two different types of people in the home. There's a person that can have the visit, and they're relaxed. They don't care, right? Everything's fine. It doesn't matter if this is not clean. It doesn't matter. We're not paying attention to whether or not they've got something to drink, or the guests, you know, there's enough food, or you know, we got bread on the table, all those things. This person's just happy to have guests, right? Just want to talk. Just get to be around. That's all it's about to them. But then there's the person oftentimes in the home that's noticing everything. Everything. You know, as you're sitting there having conversation, you're noticing that little bitty piece of lint. I'm not going to mention who it was, but I had a friend, and his mom could see lint this small at the back of our church, all the way back there. I mean, she could see lint 20 miles. She had a bionic eye for lint, and it freaked her out when she saw it. And if you were in her home, and all of a sudden there's a piece of lint somewhere over there, she felt like she's failed as a hostess and preparing our home. So there's the person that sees all the little things. So we have this in mind. Here is Martha, and she's doing all these things. I want to ask you a question, though. Is there anything in and of itself that she's doing that is wrong? Anything immoral about what she's doing? Anything inappropriate about what she's doing? No. Everything she's doing is proper in its place. And then there's Mary. The Bible uses the word, but Mary. So it gives a contrast. It wants us to see that Martha is doing all these things and she's focused on all these things, but there comes this contrast. And Mary is doing something very different than Martha. Mary really does not seem concerned with whether or not everyone's glass is staying full, or whether or not there's lint on the floor, or whether or not they've run out of hors d'oeuvres, or whether or not that everything is in place. What is it that Mary is doing?
Listening.
All right, so I got sitting, listening, and she's sitting, and the Bible makes a really interesting statement. It says that she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's not just a geographical location. It is and it's not. Okay, so there's something very specific about what she's doing. Now, we could ask, is there anything immoral in what she's doing? No. Is there anything inappropriate in what she's doing? No. So we just see all these everyday events that are taking place. One is having a problem with the other. Here's the situation, or here's what we want to see. In Luke chapter number 8, verse 35, the Bible says, then they went out to see what was done. This is talking about one of the demon-possessed men, that demon was cast out of him. The Bible says they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. And what was he doing? Yeah, let's say that together again.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus.
He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. All right, now I'll give you another place in Scripture. Acts chapter number 22, verse number 3. Paul is writing here, and Paul speaking. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, talking about the city of his place, a city in Sicilia, yet brought up in this city at the what?
Feet of
Gamaliel. All right, so at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. Sitting at the feet of someone is discipleship in a sense. It is sitting, listening, taking in. It's learning. To sit at the feet of, when Paul said, I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, it doesn't mean that he slept at the feet of the bed. But what it means is he sat under the teaching, the tutorage, the mentoring of this particular person. And when we see the man who the demon was cast out of him, what do we find him doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, observing, learning, becoming different, taking in, And so now when we see Mary, and the Bible describes it not just that she was in the room listening to, not being a part of everything else, that she was very focused on something. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, meaning that she was taking in everything that Jesus was giving out. She recognized something very different. That in this meeting that's taking place, this is not about us serving Him food. It's about Him serving to us this education, this doctrine, this teaching. It's not about whether or not we put everything on the table for Him. It's that we clear our tables that He can set for us and learn and grow. Mary sees this same opportunity. They both have they're sharing the same opportunity. Jesus is present with them, right? But they see it very differently. Martha sees it as only an obligation, only a responsibility. It's a privilege. She recognizes that. She doesn't want to misrepresent. She doesn't want to do anything that doesn't honor Jesus in this visit. But Mary sees it from a different angle. So Martha says, in order for me to make sure I'm very respectful, in order for me to make sure that I'm proper, I'm appropriate, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in this encounter with Jesus Christ, I'm going to stay busy making sure that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Mary looks at it and says, in order for me to represent, in order for me to honor Him, in order for me to be respectful, in order for me to make the most of this opportunity, I'm going to sit still and observe and listen and learn. Martha is naturally fretted, right? Because isn't it hard to serve alone? It's hard to get it all done by yourself. And then she every time she passed, every time she come in and out, she'd see Mary sitting there, and she probably, no doubt, being human, made certain gestures and stuff. You know, like, you know, just little things that lets them know, you know, you should be helping me. Finally, to the point that she takes it to Jesus and is like, you know, I'll just get Him to order her to help me. Now, I don't want to belittle Martha at all, because I think Martha is doing everything she can to make sure she doesn't disrespect Jesus in this. But what she's missing, that's the key. What she's missing is the greater opportunity. And that's to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive something from Him. That's what she's missing. I heard my pastor one time, and he was talking, and I understand it. I hope my mom does not watch this. I understand it. But he said his wife's mom, they lived out of town. And so, you know, when you live out of town, you only have limited time. You go see them, do things. And their moms were old. Their parents were old. And they needed things done. And so as they would go to visit them, they would want to do things for them. Like, let me get the yard raked. Let me take care of the things that need to be done at your home. But he said that, you know what the parents always wanted instead? Visit with me. Sit with me. Talk with me. Listen to me. Share with me. And he would struggle with that battle, because he was stuck between, I see all of this that needs to be done here, and I got 3 hours. But what you're saying, what you really want me to do, is just sit and talk. And you don't care if all this doesn't get done. Because what you want is the visit and the memory and the relationship. And that's exactly what you begin to see with Jesus Christ. As He takes this visit here, what He wants is not to see how well the hospitality is done in serving. He wants to see how they respond in listening, in sitting, in fellowship, in learning, in taking it in. We look at those things, and here's something I think is very important. Tell me one more time. Mary sat where?
Jesus.
At the feet of Jesus. And I think she's soaking up her, I think she's soaking everything up so much that she is oblivious pretty much to what Martha, all the little things Martha's doing to try to get her to come serve, right? All the hints just go right over her head. She's focused in on one person in that room and one person alone. Who is that?
Jesus
Christ. I don't think she would have cared what happened, what disasters, what other. She just wants, hey, this is my opportunity, this is my time, and I'm going to listen. And I'm going to let him teach me because there's something about this person. And she has been affected by him. He has done something in her life. And she's so grateful that she wants every opportunity to absorb everything about him. And notice as we move to John chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha did what?
Served.
But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took who? Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard. It's here, but it's not there, so we'll just go with me on this one. Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard and anointed the what? Anyone know? The feet of Jesus. Anointed the feet of Jesus. She comes back where? To the feet of Jesus. And the disciples even kind of question, like, why has this waste been made? Why did we take this big thing of ointment that's so costly that could have been sold and put into the ministry? And why is it wasted and put on the feet of Jesus here? And Jesus is going to rebuke them, and there's something about that rebuke that it's going to be very interesting. He comes to the place, and he says, this is done for my burial. She gets it. She recognizes something. He's going to die. Of all the people that should have known this, the disciples should have got that more than anybody, right? But she got it. Why did she get it? She sat at the feet of Jesus without preconceived ideas of what he was going to do for her and listened. Listened to not what she wanted to hear, but listened to what he was saying. She got it. It became real to her. It was an amazing revelation to her. And when the time came, she recognized this would be my opportunity. She comes and she anoints Jesus for the burial. He's not dead, but she recognizes there might be another opportunity. And she takes this opportunity to do what she can for him. And two times we find Mary at the feet of Jesus Christ, both times is it a time of worship, a time of observance, a time of setting everything else aside, a time of sacrifice, that she takes this great expensive gift that was set aside for burials that she could have used a small amount. She takes the sacrifice. Why? Because she's been at the feet of Jesus and now she can worship at the feet of Jesus. And here's the application as we bring it into our own life. Something that becomes real to us. Honest evaluation of your time feet of Jesus. Mary understood something. I don't need to just be busy. Because Martha was busy, but notice what she became. Bitter. She's angry. She's frustrated more. Even to the point that she sort of goes to Jesus and she wants to kind of guilt him into making Mary do what she to help. She says, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So she's busy, but she becomes bitter in her busyness. But Mary set everything else aside. And she becomes moldable. She becomes receptive. And she listens. And she learns. And it results in her coming back at another time to worship and to perform and to serve. And in both cases, we find that Jesus, he honors her in what she did. When I thought about it for us, I think that church is one of those places that we can become very busy, but we don't stop to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear from him, to listen to what he's saying through the message, through the scripture to us. That we can become very busy in getting ourselves ready and rushed and pushed and to our seat and to our place, and our minds are still going, and we leave, and we're departing from the church, and we're leaving the parking lot, and yet there's just been such a frustration about the busyness that, you know what people become? Bitter. That they do not wake up a lot of times, and you can gauge your home mentality about this. People do not go to bed on Saturday going, tomorrow is Sunday. It's a great opportunity. I am excited that tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow I get up, I go to church. In the morning I'll be in my place with my church family, with those that we have the privilege to worship with, and to we have a bond, that we have come to the same faith, and we're serving in the same purpose. We have the same passion. We're looking to reach our community and to share. But we're also going to sing songs that make us think about our God and worship Him. And we're going to hear a message that's going to, God's going to speak to us and challenge us and encourage us and help us with. But what happens is that we rather go to bed on a Saturday thinking, man, I wish tomorrow wasn't Sunday. I wish that I could sleep late tomorrow. I wish that we didn't have church, because I got to get this other stuff done. That this is my only day to get it done. And we go to church anyway, but we're reluctant. And we're eager to get out. And it's more of an inconvenience to us than a privilege. That sound familiar sometimes? It should, because it's the story of so many people. You can see it. You can feel it. We don't mean to get that way, but it becomes real. That, well, we would never call church an inconvenience with our words. We can call it that with our actions and our attitude and our demeanor. We can call it that with our attentiveness in church. Our arrival at church. If church wasn't an inconvenience, and it would be full on both services. It would be filled at all times. It would be something that people were not in. It wouldn't be so hard to get here on time. That's not a complaint. It's just an observation that, hey, that we're not careful, sitting at the feet of Jesus will no longer feel like a great responsibility, a place of worship and learning as Mary did. It will become more like Martha, something that we have to check off the list and get done, and it becomes something that will make us bitter instead. Think for a moment as we go back, and here's how we tie in some of the things that we have. We watched our videos of people that, countries where people were being persecuted, where churches were burned and destroyed, and a law was made that they could not rebuild those. How many of those people would love to get up this morning? If we had had church at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock this morning, how many of them would have happily been in their seat, in their place, ready to worship, ready to sing, ready to serve? Because it hadn't become mundane. Our obligation as Christians is to not let this activity of worship be something that becomes an obligation. It should always be a privilege. And the thing about a privilege is it can always be taken away. We're seeing that in other parts of the world, and if you were to know a lot of things that's happening in America, you see that that's a push that's happening here. And one day, my fear is, one day Christians are going to lose our privilege, lose our opportunity to worship God in the way that we do, and we're just going to complain that the world is that way, the government's that way, when the truth is, we gave it away.
Amen.
We have a greater responsibility to be here to serve, but not just as we get here. You know what one of my struggles is as a pastor? You see it. You just haven't, you know, you're kind enough not to say, well, I'm not that one. Y'all probably think of something different. One of my biggest struggles is getting here with so many details, so many things to put in place, and not be like Martha. Let me get this ready, and this ready, and this, and talk to this person, and do that, and arrange this, and put this fire out, and that fire out. And not sit down and come to church and just be glad that I'm here. I mean, I can't just let the details go. That would be a disaster, but I struggle sometimes to calm down, slow down, and worship God with you together. Truly. Genuinely. You've seen it. You've seen me. We've got to rush through the songs sometimes, rush through the prayers, and try to get settled in. You know, that's not how God wants us to spend time in His feet. today, here, right now, God wants us to worship Him, listen to Him, hear Him. My obligation, my commitment, as I said before, is to push, to pray, to partner. Push you to do that. To pray for you as we become that. And to partner with you that we do that. As we come together to pray, to partner about being here, I gave you something last week that, you know, I really believe that is important for last time we were together, important for us as a church, and that is to have a goal, a commitment. To try to push ourselves to say, well, let me gauge. You know, this handout that you had, it would kind of let you follow through. I don't know what happened to it. For a lot of you, it may have nothing have ever happened to it. It may be lost. It may be sitting somewhere. But to kind of attend, you know, how do I gauge it? Did I come to the first hour? Did I come to the second hour? If so, why? Why not? Was I there Wednesday? What's my weekly activities? What did I read? Who did I pray for? Who did I share the gospel with? Or who did I inconvenience myself to reach out to earn the right to witness to me? These are things we talked about. There's another. Our goal, all members be in attendance every first Wednesday. That's not always going to be possible, but a goal. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God. That means we're never content to stay in one place, that stay at one level, but we're always pushing forward to do more, to learn more, to grow more. All members in attendance, the first Wednesday of every month, and the last Sunday for both services, both hours. It's really not two services, it's 1 2-hour service. That's what we have here. 1 2-hour service that's broken into times of prayer, broken into times of singing, broken into times of study, broken into times of fellowship. It's all part of it. My goal was to see us push and commit and strive to be here on time. To let ourselves, let our presence not only be here to encourage one person, but to encourage all people. To be a testimony to each other and a testimony to the world that goes by our church. To change our schedules to fit what's important, what's the priority. Jesus told Martha, he said, one thing is important, one thing is the priority, Martha, and you missed it. So what he was telling Martha is, Martha, rearrange your schedule. Rearrange your life like Mary did. So that when the priority is here, you can focus on the priority. If God is who we say He is, if He is the God, if He's God, then He deserves not only our best, He deserves the best. He deserves the commitments. But He's also God who rewards those commitments and honors the best when we give. Who delights in our service and our sacrifice. You don't have to share, you don't have to slay a lamb on this altar this morning to worship God. Matter of fact, that's not acceptable. What you can sacrifice is your sleep, your time, your attention, your effort, your schedule. That's a sacrifice. It cost to serve. But we should serve with honor and dignity. We should serve in a way that shows the honor that we place upon our God and the work that He has done in our life. And so this morning, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer. I want us to think this morning about our privilege and our responsibility. I want us this morning to consider the sacrifice of serving. This place in Scripture says that when we go before God, basically that think that we've really done something, and we'll find out that we'll just say, hey, I'm an unworthy servant because I've only done the minimum, what's required of me. It's easy to feel this morning that we have accomplished something great for God or sacrificed great for God, until we watch that people are giving their lives to serve Him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as I pray this morning, I come to the place to think about Mary and her sacrifice and her service. She was willing to accept the reproach, the negative thoughts, attitudes that would come from Martha and others that she didn't serve, but what she received, Lord, was the praise and the acceptance of God that recognized her commitment. God, when we come to church, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable saying that it's an inconvenience. But it shows in the demeanor, the attitude in which we come, way and the time in which we come sometimes. The frequency of our coming. God, I also want to remember faithfulness goes beyond church attendance. It's recognizing we sit at the feet of Jesus each day when we open up our Bibles, when we get our separate place to pray. When we turn off television and games and activities and stop a project that needs to be done in order that we might pray and read something and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us and reflect on something that you've done in our life. Sacrifices like that need to be made every day. That our time and our attention to the great things we can give to you each day of our life, they'll cost us something that cannot be done. The reward of that is great. God, I want to ask you to help us this year that we will change. We will no longer take for granted our privilege. We will no longer neglect our responsibility. That when we come to church, Lord, we have already sat at the feet of Jesus during the week. And it's shown through the praise and the worship that we feel here. It's expressed here as Mary did. Lord, after sitting at your feet, she came back with a place of worship. Lord, help us to do that. Let us see it. Give us, Lord, people that will model that. Let me model that. Let it be real in our life. Let it become who we are. You're worthy of it. God, also, we see that people need that example. And I pray you'd help us to feel it. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Kurt's going to come give us some announcements.
So always, we just want to remind you on Wednesday nights of our meal time that we have at 6:30, and then we have service at 7 o'clock, so everybody is welcome to be there. Okay, flip over. Let's go to birthdays. Hey. Not on the wall. Okay. Miss Chloe has a birthday this month on the 15th. Oh, she had one on the 15th. We're already at the 20th. So Chloe had a birthday, so if you have to say happy birthday to her, say happy birthday to her. Sorry, bear with me.
I got you.
Hey, when I was winning.
I got you. It's now Jeremy's birthday. Yeah, it's gone.
It's now Jeremy's birthday this month on the 31st.
Yep.
All right.
There you go.
On February the 3rd at 5 o'clock, Tammy and I are going to host a Super Bowl party starting at 5 o'clock. And if the youth can be there, I really encourage you to be there. It's more than just a football game. It's to spend a little bit of time together. So if you can do that, that would be great. We'll have a good time. We'll have some good food. And if we get a chance to watch the game, we'll watch the game. So,
yeah, it's definitely going to be worth going to. They'll throw a good party.
2 weeks from today. And then also Wintergreen Snow Tubing is on February the 8th. I think now we're up to about 29 people who are going. And if you would, if you're going, let me know that if you are and or can drive, if you would. Because we're probably not going to get a van with only 29 people. I got two vehicles that can carry at least 13. Some other people are going to be coming later, so I know they're driving. So if you plan to drive or if you can drive, please let me know. Today would be great, but if you let me know by next week, that would be awesome. And then we have our, just want to continue to remember, I know sometimes we forget. We do walk by there. Sometimes it just becomes part of the wall. We have envelopes to give for our kids. And let's continue to pray for those kids as well, not just to give, but to also remember them in our prayers.
That's it.
That they get, you know, the nourishment out of those bags and the encouragement they need for that. So,
all right.
Are we doing these?
Yes, let's do those.
All right. We have our missionary cards. And then we have one. Let's see. Bear with me just a minute. Let me look at these real quick. I think we have extra one or two here. Just a second. All right, so we've added a couple. We usually do four cards for the month, okay? Can somebody name, who do we send cards to normally? Lemmings, okay, where are they? All right, who else?
The Sutphins.
House of Hope. In transition, very good. What we've added this time is we have a couple of shut-ins that aren't able to make it to church anymore. So we have cards there. Again, there are even those for Bruce and for Miss Ragsdale. So we have six cards. If you would, if you want to just get one, write a little something in it, send that off to them, that would be great. So this time we need six volunteers. Sometimes it's hard to get four. Tell you what, sometimes don't raise my hand. So I'm going to take one. So I've got one. Who else will do it?
These cards make a big difference. All right. He's going to hand those out. Our ushers are going to go ahead and come this way if they would. And as they do, I want you to take a hymn book. That's one of these red things that's in the pew in front of you. And I want you to take a hymn book. Open that up. You'll find page number 91. What a day that will be. You'll have to look down instead of up unless you hold the book up like that right there. You'll come back to you how to do this. There is coming a day when the heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to lift the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. Church. It's good to have Miss Jeannie back with us after her broken ribs, and
different things. Continue to pray for her. But it's good to see you back here this morning, Miss Jean. We're so grateful to have you back. Before I do let you walk out, is there anything that anyone would like to share this morning, anything God's laid upon your heart that he's maybe speaking to you about during all this? All right, you're at liberty this morning. Thank you. Hey, girl.
Can you sing? Sing? It's a book. Yep. It's happy. It's happy. Go get Nana.
Where's my girl?
But,
That's what I'm saying. Really good. Thank you. Thank you.
Y'all just kind of make sure, because I don't want to leave one out and My pants, I'm sweating everywhere. Cut that projector off right there.
Cut the projector off? Oh, yeah. Okay. Were y'all like doing this streaming?
I did stream it. I got tickled. Like, Chris didn't let me.
That's why I was asking.
What'd you ask?
When I was looking at you.
From back there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just turned it on, streamed it. I was like, she done walked off.